and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. I cannot tell you what a gigantic show we have for you today. It's been one of the craziest 24-hour periods of all time, and I got more videos than I know what to do with. We've had a couple major hearings on Capitol Hill, including the questioning of Howard Lutnick, as well as in a religious liberty committee, which turned out to just be an anti-Semitism committee. And the Christians participating on that panel are now being threatened with their lives by the other people on the panel because I think they misunderstand the whole concept of religious liberty over there. So we'll get into that very much so. But we just have, from the Epstein files, and mostly it'll be about the Epstein files today, but of course, the war with Iran, and of course, the anti-Semitism attempt to censor America and get rid of our First Amendment. They're all tied very, very intimately together, and we'll explore that tangled web being weaved that's frankly strangling us to death. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 10th of February, 2026. Trump says he might send second carrier for Iran strikes if talks fail. President Trump told Axios in an interview on Tuesday that he's considering sending a second aircraft carrier strike group to the Middle East to prepare for military action if negotiations with Iran fail. Iran and the U.S. have resumed negotiations as of last Friday in Oman for the first time since the 12-day war in June, but Trump has simultaneously launched a massive military buildup in the Gulf. Either we will make a deal or we will have to do something very tough like last time, Trump told Axios. And of course, Benjamin Netanyahu will be arriving in D.C. tomorrow, and the discussion of going to war with Iran continues to simmer, hasn't quite boiled over yet, but this is absurd, and we'll get into how absurd all of this is. Because, of course, the talks are not going to go anywhere because they're making unreasonable demands of Iran that they know they're not going to capitulate to. So we'll get into, like, what could possibly happen here because it's very troubling. And, of course, the absurd thing, and I'm sure Iran knows this, is that even if they give up their ballistic missiles, that's really just leaving yourself defenseless. And then they have absolutely no way to stop Israel from carpet bombing them at will. So they're probably not going to do that. They also have the ability to strike Israel pretty much with impunity because their missiles are too fast for the Iron Dome to stop. So that's going to be troublesome. But even if they give up their ballistic missiles, it's not going to stop the aggression from Israel and America. And even if we take over Iran, do you think that's going to be the end of it? Do you think if we finally just bomb the hell out of Iran and we do some 24-hour blitzkrieg where we just kill everyone in the country, do you think it's going to be over then? Do you think then we'll have world peace, or do you think then Russia will be the next, you know, country on our chopping block, or China or whatever else? It's not going to end. It's not going to end. So I don't know. I don't know what Iran's going to do here, but I doubt it's going to be capitulate and surrender without a fight. That's just me. Meanwhile, Howard Lutnick now says he met Epstein twice after 2008 conviction. We'll get back into this as he's being questioned over this, and it's not going well for old Howard. Trump reportedly called police about Epstein in 2006. Newly unsealed Epstein court documents reviewed by the Miami Herald include details from a 2019 FBI interview reportedly by former Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Reiter, in which he describes a 2006 phone call where President Donald Trump said of Jeffrey Epstein, quote, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this for a long time," even though the president has repeatedly said he didn't know about Epstein's alleged crimes at the time they were happening. Wow, they're actually trying to frame that as if it's, wow, you caught Trump in a lie. No, he was actually one of, if not the first person to blow the whistle on Jeffrey Epstein and call out Ghislaine Maxwell. We'll read the emails a little bit later. Meanwhile, Trump Religious Liberty Panel's first anti-Semitism hearing turns contentious over Israel. We'll show you lots of clips from that later in the show. And finally, six men likely incriminated by links to Jeffrey Epstein, lawmakers say, after reviewing unredacted files. So this, of course, was Thomas Massie revealing not just the identity, but the names, like not just the career or positions of the people in the files, but the names of them, including Les Wexner, who we've been telling you is involved forever. Why did he get his name redacted? He's not in the government. It's not national security, but he is a part of a cabal that's even more important to the government than the government. We'll be right back on the other side with more. Share this link, folks. It's going to be a huge show.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Things are heating up when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. And it's getting very interesting, folks. More and more discoveries contained in the Epstein documents are giving us a better view of exactly who the players were here and exactly what game they were playing. And we'll start with this. Thomas Massie has revealed the names of some of the people involved in Epstein that were redacted inexplicably from the releases. Of course, we showed yesterday when he came out and talked about having gone and looked at the unredacted files and said, well, a lot of them were still redacted because it turns out they were redacted before they were ever submitted to the DOJ. Little interesting. Headline from the New York Post, six men likely incriminated by links to Jeffrey Epstein, lawmakers say after reviewing unredacted files. Six associates of the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein were likely incriminated by their inclusion in voluminous files detailing the years-long investigation of the notorious financier. Representatives Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie told reporters Monday after reviewing documents at the Justice Department. Quote, we went in there for 2 hours, said Massie. There's millions of files, right? And in a couple hours, we found six men whose names have been redacted who are implicated in the way that the files are presented. The congressman who co-authored the Epstein Files Transparency Act that forced the release of the documents late last year did not name the men or specify the conduct they believed would be to be illegal. They did say one suspect was, quote, pretty high up in a foreign government, while another was a prominent individual, a CEO of a company, in fact. And we have a couple statements from these guys. Let's go to clip 65 here. This is Ro Khanna giving an address on the Epstein files that he saw. Here he is in Congress giving that address.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Congressman Massie and I went to the Department of Justice to read the unredacted Epstein files. We spent about 2 hours there, and we learned that 70 to 80% of the files are still redacted. In fact, there were six wealthy, powerful men that the DOJ hid for no apparent reason. When Congressman Massie and I pointed this out to the Department of Justice, they acknowledged their mistake, and now they have revealed the identity of these six powerful men. These men are Salvatore Navora, Zurab Mikolaj, Leopig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleim, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI. Now, my question is, why did it take Thomas Massie and me going to the Justice Department to get these six men's identities to become public? And if we found six men that they were hiding in 2 hours, imagine how many men they are covering up for in those 3 million files. But the story gets worse. The reality is that Donald Trump's FBI scrubbed these files in March, long before Thomas Massie and I passed the Epstein Transparency Act.
Thank you, Mr.
Now, my bill is clear. The Epstein Transparency Act requires them to unredact those FBI files. And yet the Justice Department said to me and to Congressman Massie, we just uploaded whatever the FBI sent us. And guess what? The FBI sent scrubbed files. That means the survivor's statement to the FBI naming rich and powerful men who went to Epstein's island, who went to his ranch, who went to his home and raped and abused underage girls or saw underage girls being paraded, they're all hidden. They're all redacted. It's a little bit of a farce. They're inviting all the members of Congress to go to see the Department of Justice, quote unquote, unredacted files, but they've got all redacted files from the FBI. And it's not the fault of the Justice Department attorneys. They were just told upload things that Donald Trump's FBI had already scrubbed. It's a blatant violation of the Epstein Transparency Act, but it also asks a fundamental question. Who are they protecting? Why are they protecting these rich and powerful men, people I call part of the Epstein class? Why are we in a country where there is no elite accountability for people who do the most heinous things? You have, in England, the king now calling for an investigation and possible prosecution of his own brother. You have, in Norway, the princess who no longer has support to be the queen. And yet, in the United States of America, we have someone in the cabinet, Howard Lutnick, who is all over these Epstein files, who allegedly had business with Epstein after he was convicted of pedophilia, and he still is in the cabinet. We need to ask ourselves, are we in America going to have elite accountability? Are we going to call on rich and powerful people who broke the law or cavorted with a pedophile, a convicted pedophile? Are we going to call them to account? Are we going to have prosecutions for billionaires who went to this island and either raped underage girls or saw underage girls being raped and didn't say anything? Are we going to have investigations? I'll tell you what this is about. It's not just about the 1,200 survivors. It's about two tiers of justice in America. It's about people who can accumulate wealth and power and don't have to care about the rest of America. They have destroyed so much of this country. Income inequality is at a 60-year high. Workers' salaries are less than they have been for 75 years as a part of GDP. Somehow this country seems to be working for the rich and powerful, but it's not working for ordinary working-class Americans. I say enough. It's time to begin with accountability for the Epstein class. Hold them in front of Congress, those people who visited the island or did business with Epstein after he was a convicted pedophile. Investigate them, prosecute them, and let's return to democratic accountability in the United States of America. Let's return to one system of justice in the United States of America. Let's return to a place where every American has a stake in this country.
Very powerful stuff from Ro Khanna. And there he mentioned some of the guys, some of the men that were exposed by Ro Khanna himself and Thomas Massie when they were able to see the unredacted names. Makes a bunch of good points about why are these men being protected. But of course, to ask the question is to answer it. They're being protected because they're elite members of this society. It's like, why are all of these powerful, important, dangerous people not being arrested? It's like, well, because they're powerful and important, and they use their power to avoid consequences for their actions. It's not actually all that complicated. And he mentions Howard Lutnick. We'll get into him in just a second. But let's go now to clip 29 here. This is Representative Thomas Massie revealing that Les Wexner was, of course, one of the names being redacted in the Epstein files. Now, we've been telling you about Les Wexner for a very long time. His name has not been, you know, out of the Epstein orbit. It's always been right there next to Epstein, I believe, Les Wexner, unless I'm mistaken. I mean, he sold Epstein his house for a dollar, the most expensive private residence in the entire city of New York. He gave to Epstein for free. He was his sole banker for a long time. I mean, he was Epstein's handler, essentially, and funder, and he got all the money through Les Wexner because Les Wexner represents a kingpin in the mega group, which is the international Jewish conspiracy you've been hearing so much about. Let's go to clip 29 here. This is Representative Thomas Massie talking about Les Wexner in the files. Here it is.
An example of something, maybe it wasn't intentional on their part. I'd like to hear his take on the redaction of the CEO, who's listed as a co-conspirator in the 2019 child sex trafficking case.
So can I ask you, because, and I want to ask if this is the same person, Todd Blanch also said about that tonight that the document you're citing there has victim names in it.
Correct.
Seeming to say that's why there are redactions. He said, we have just unredacted Les Wexner's name from this document, but his name already appears in the file thousands of other times. And he says the Justice Department is hiding nothing. Is that the retired CEO that you're referencing?
It is. He unredacted it after I found it. That's a problem. And I'm glad they've admitted they made a mistake by redacting that.
So you're saying it was redacted when you went in there today, and after you tweeted that, they unredacted it?
Correct. Now he's got four other names he needs to unredact. Did he respond to that? There's a list of 20 people, and there's four men in there that need to be unredacted. Here's another troubling thing that I found.
Can you say who those four men are tonight?
I don't think they're well known, and so if I did, it wouldn't matter, but I could probably say them on the floor of the House. But I'll give the DOJ a chance to do what they did in these two examples, where I've discovered something and now they've responded.
So there you go, Thomas Massey. Appearing in the Epstein files does not prove guilt, but Leslie Wexner was designated as a co-conspirator of Epstein for child sex trafficking in a 2019 FBI document, and the Sultan's email address was used to send correspondence about the torture video. So he identified who the one that said, oh, I liked the torture video. That apparently was this Sultan guy who is some sort of prince from Saudi Arabia, I believe. The story is at Zero Hedge. Massey exposes Les Wexner as Epstein co-conspirator, opening door to criminal charges against Kash Patel. Actually, yeah, Suleiman Ahmed bin Sulayem and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner. Although President Donald Trump has amplified his attacks against Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey on the basis of deluded claims that he is a radical un-American liberal who's hell-bent on sabotaging his administration, it is the congressman's continuing crusade to expose the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein that shows the actual threat he poses to Trump. The latest development in the Epstein files fallout has clearly proven that the Trump administration's best attempts to continue to cover up the crimes of Epstein and his accomplices are no match for Massey's vigilance. After granting members of Congress access to view unredacted versions of the Epstein files in response to the pressure mounted by Massey, the revelations therein have shown the lengths that the Department of Justice under Trump and the FBI have taken to continue the Epstein cover-up, going so far as to break federal law in an increasingly futile attempt to keep the truth from the American public. So essentially they're saying, the law that was passed, which, by the way, it's worth noting that the entire reason we have Epstein files, like, it is a actually monumental victory for the Republican system, because this did not come from an executive order. It did not come from the executive at all. This was a bill that was passed through the House, passed through the Senate, and that Trump was pressured and politically obligated to sign. It was a groundswell grassroots operation headed by Ro Khanna and Thomas Massey, who whipped the votes and, you know, got agreements. And of course, this was only really possible because the left and the Democrats thought they were going to get Trump over it. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how it turned out. But at the end of the day, this was how our system is supposed to function, that the people elect representatives who go and pass bills to do what the people want. We want the Epstein files released. They pass the bill to release it. And now we have them. So just kudos again to Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna and everybody else that helped get this over the line, because this is actually an effective usage of our system. The problem is the law they passed demanded that these files be unredacted except in cases of national security or to protect the identity of victims. If they're censoring and redacting names of CEOs because they're simply prominent in American society or have leverage over the people in the FBI, then they've committed a crime. They've violated the statutes of the law that was passed. So unless they can give a reasonable, justifiable answer as to why these things were redacted, then they broke the law and should probably be punished for that. So, you know, amazing stuff from Thomas Massey. They're going to go look at the files again today. So we'll probably get more revelations from them very soon. But yes, high-profile Epstein associate and billionaire Les Wexner was identified as being a co-conspirator in the files. And there he is posting. This is a well-known retired CEO, and you can see here it says co-conspirator. And actually, they have now released the unredacted version of that. And you can, if I pull it up here, you can see that Leslie Wexner is the co-conspirator there, that whose image was censored in the official release. So he's just one. Other people have found other potential co-conspirators that they think they've identified, including, maybe I should mention it because it hasn't been officially noted, but if you want to find out, maybe I'll tell you a little bit later. But we're going to move on. But of course, you know, these things should have massive consequences for the American political power structure, but they're not. They're just not for some reason. The UK is collapsing under the weight of these revelations. People all over Norway and Germany and elsewhere are resigning in disgrace because of their inclusion in the Epstein files. Meanwhile, people included in the Epstein files in a way that exposes that they were patently dishonest in the past are clinging to power and refuse to even acknowledge the implications of their name being included in this stuff. They're not going to do it on their own. They have to be forced to do this. And unfortunately, the left doesn't seem all that focused on them. They really only care about getting Trump. And by the way, Trump is totally exonerated by these files. I'll get to that in just a second. But let's talk about Howard Lutnick here. Yeah, we'll go to Howard Lutnick. We'll go first to clip number six here. Or actually, sorry, we got to go to clip number 16. Let's go to clip number 16. This is Senator Van Hollen questioning Howard Lutnick, who, of course, is a key figure in Trump's administration and was exposed in the Epstein files as having contact with Epstein years and years and years after he, vehemently denied ever having anything to do with him. Let's watch.
Lutnick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again. Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple with, they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife, all together. We were on family vacation. We were not apart. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it, but
Mr. Secretary, again, as I said, there's...
Okay, so that's a lie, but I mean, what's being exposed is that he lied. I mean, from AP News, Howard Lutnick now says he did meet Epstein twice since his 2008 conviction, and he says, oh, there's no reason for us to think this was untoward in 2012. Well, 4 years earlier, he'd been convicted of child sex trafficking, so what are you talking about? You're acting like you didn't know that? Under questioning from Democrats on Tuesday, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick acknowledged that he'd met with Jeffrey Epstein twice after the late financier's 2008 conviction for soliciting prostitution from a child, reversing Lutnick's previous claim that he'd cut ties with him after 2005. Lutnick again downplayed his relationship with a disgraced financier who was once his neighbor in New York City, next-door neighbor, in fact, they shared a wall. As he was questioned by Democrats during a subcommittee hearing on the Senate Appropriations Committee, he described their contact as a handful of emails and a pair of messages that were years apart. I did not have any relationship with him. I barely had anything to do with him, Lutnick told lawmakers. But of course, this was exposed as a lie from the Epstein files. And there's things like this. Howard Lutnick went to Jeffrey Epstein's island just 5 days before Lutnick and Epstein went into business together. So he apparently lunched on Epstein's island on the 23rd of December 2012, and just 5 days later, on the 28th of December 2012, Lutnick and Epstein signed a stock purchase agreement. So he's not even being honest about that. It wasn't just a brief lunch on vacation that was totally innocent. It was probably some sort of business meeting, and there's probably some, as he puts it, untoward things that occurred there. So again, he's just lying on top of lying. I would think you'd be held in contempt of Congress for that, for such a flagrant act of dishonesty right in their faces. Let's go to clip number six here. This is Senator Merkley to Lutnick, or I'm sorry, Senator Van Hollen again, same guy. So this is a follow-up to the last question when he talks about the nannies. He's like, I was there with my family and my wife and my kids and our nannies. And this leads to another question. Let's watch.
Questions I have before we close. One is just a follow-up on one of your responses with respect to the Epstein files, specifically the visit you and your family took to Epstein's private island in 2012. And I think you also said you went on his yacht. Is that right? Or boat? No.
No.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
At that time, I think you mentioned that you were accompanied by your wife and kids and nannies. My question is, do you know whether the nanny that you had on that trip was the same nanny that Jeffrey Epstein expressed interest in meeting?
No, I have no idea about that whole thing. I mean, I don't recall it having anything to do with me. And I don't know that.
It's
no.
Just, you know, this guy was a convicted sex offender and obviously not a great place for kids and nannies. Was Ghislaine Maxwell on the island at that time?
No.
He seemed to know that with certainty. So, yeah, Lutnick is in these emails talking about one of his nannies to Jeffrey Epstein. And then he mentions he has nannies with him on the island. They're like, were you bringing a nanny to Jeffrey Epstein? He was like, bah, I don't know about any of that. What? No, me? Howard Lutnick? This is a face you can trust. Of course, not when it's staring down at you from a mask on a wall and you're tied to a dental chair. But that's beside the point. Let's go now to clip number 7. This is Senator Merkley to Lutnick. Talking about the angst in his voice. All these people criticizing him over being best friends and business partners with a pedophile. Poor Howard. Let's watch.
I want to just summarize the reason, and I can hear the angst in your voice over the Epstein files. The reason people are bothered is because last year you said you'd cut off all contact, but there are 8 instances of interaction in the files after 2005. In 2009, you wanted to speak with Epstein. You asked for his phone number. In 2011, there was the appointment for drinks. In 2012, you were planning a trip to the private island with your family. That sounds like, you know, somebody you know well enough to call up and say, let's get our families together or let's visit each other. In 2013, the exchange of information about an article relating to intellectual property and gambling, topics that you have an interest in. You've both signed up for an investment. It's not clear if you had conversations about that same investment, but you were neighbors. You made the same investment. Maybe, maybe not. And then in 15... Paulson, in 2017, Mr. John Paulson wrote and to Epstein saying, hey, why don't you contribute to this event? You're a close friend of the Lutnicks, and it's honoring Lutnick.
Okay, so again, that long story short, he was very, very well tied in with Lutnick. And as Patrick Howley reports at Howley Reporter, in November 2015, as we in the America First movement were working to defeat Hillary Clinton, Howard Lutnick was inviting Jeffrey Epstein to his intimate Hillary Clinton fundraiser. Lutnick now works in the Trump administration instead of us. So it's a email exchange to Jeffrey Epstein from Howard Lutnick inviting him to a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. And this guy is now the one handling Trump. Gee, I wonder why Trump, you know, hasn't been given access to the Epstein files. Maybe it's because everybody around him is a traitor and betraying him and has been his enemy this whole time, or only pretending to help him because it benefits them. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, like, what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out. And we, the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, we, the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice and the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top private label. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene blue tincture. We've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even methylene blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue and methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose CMOS capsules, incredible, very strong concentrated Irish CMOS, natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox, super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 from the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm about to expose the craziest parts of the Epstein files. Stuff I guarantee you are not prepared for. I was not prepared for this. This has honestly blown my mind, what I'm going to reveal to you in this segment. Let's just go over real quick some developments over the last 24 hours, okay? Thomas Massie's gone in, seen the unredacted files, at least part of it. Massie exposes Les Wexner as Epstein co-conspirator, opening door to criminal charges against Kash Patel. Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem named as Massie over Epstein torture video email. Thomas Massie named the Emirati businessman Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem as the individual Jeffrey Epstein had emailed about a, quote, torture video. Now, if you don't know who this guy is, Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem owns a company called DP World. It controls about 10% of global container shipping. That may not register yet until you hear Thomas Massie just named him as the sender of the torture video. Flashback to 1982, Los Angeles authorities opened a repossessed shipping container and found over 16,000 preserved fetuses, that is late-term abortions to many, floating in formaldehyde, dumped like trash. Shipping containers glide across oceans carrying everyday cargo, hidden secrets, and unspeakable depravity. So apparently the guy that controls 10% of the world container traffic is emailing Jeffrey Epstein on his Gmail account about torture videos. That's how confident these people are. They always get away with it. from Lebanon underscore John on X, my co-host at Moonbase Life, put this list together. Epstein files rip through Europe's elite like wildfire with silence in the U.S. With the U.K., Prime Minister is on the brink of resignation, the cabinet in turmoil, the entire government on the brink of collapse. In Norway, criminal investigations into the former Prime Minister have been launched. The World Economic Forum is probing an ex-foreign minister. Two diplomats have stepped down, and the royal family is mired in this scandal. In Slovakia, a national security advisor has stepped down. In Sweden, Swedish UN-linked diplomat has resigned over the Epstein files. In France, former culture and education minister is now under investigation and resigned from the Arab World Institute over the Epstein files. And despite the fact that the vast majority of the people included in the Epstein files are from America, we have seen practically no resignations or firings or anything of the sort. One of the more disturbing revelations made today was that a UAE diplomat offered her 13-year-old sister to Epstein, saying, quote, she's even prettier than me. That's Hind Al-Owais, the same woman who those earlier emails coordinating Jeffrey's schedule. She's walking around free right now and, again, literally offered her 13-year-old daughter saying how – or sister, rather, saying how pretty she was. Newly released documents show Epstein owned a girls' clothing store called Justice. Internal Epstein financial records show that Les Wexner transferred TOO Inc. to Epstein's financial trust company in 2001. TOO Inc. owned Justice and other girl brands. So again, they were just sort of shifting money and businesses and women between themselves endlessly. Of course, the discussion of the code word jerky has been disturbing, to say the least, and this may be the craziest email. Quote, this is from somebody named Francis Derby to somebody who's blacked out, but it's in the Epstein files. The subject is jerky. Just wanted to touch base about jerky with capital J. J.E., Jeff Epstein, said he was going to start eating regular food again, so he might be eating less jerky. That said, he has 6 bags of it in the downtown freezer for his next trip. I believe it should be enough to get him through. Any other questions, let me know. Thank you, Francis. So what do you think jerky means? What do you think it means? He's going to start eating regular food again, so he might be eating less jerky, but he still has 6 bags of it in the freezer for his next trip as he's got his assistants coordinating and, like, putting on a calendar, moving his jerky around the world. I don't believe that they're talking about jerky. I don't think they're talking about beef jerky, personally. But then again, that would make me, obviously, a crazy conspiracy theorist. According to the FBI... The FBI has concluded that Jeffrey Epstein was not running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men. They just decided that's not what was happening, I guess. It's just one of these headlines. It's like, okay, well, I'm not sure what outcome you expected to come of this. We were going to go, oh, well, the FBI says it wasn't happening, so I guess we believe them? Like, no, what? Just what? Why would you even, I mean, it's obvious. It's just really not a smart move to try to cover this stuff up. The FBI pored over Epstein's bank records and emails. It searched his homes. It spent years interviewing his victims and examining connections to some of the world's most influential people. But while investigators collected ample proof that Epstein sexually abused underage girls, they found scant evidence that the well-connected financier led a sex trafficking ring serving powerful men, an Associated Press review of internal Justice Department records show. So again, I mean, the fix has been in the whole time. The fix has been in the whole time. I mean, the fix was in when he was first caught in 2005, and it was in again in 2019 or 2008 or whenever else he... I mean, he's just... The investigation into him was always managed by people in his ring, so it just never came to anything. And anybody that tried to do anything about it had the authorities from higher up in their organization come down and slap it out of their hands. And that's not just law enforcement, by the way. Reporters who had this story had their story slapped down by the people above them at ABC News. The people who wanted to investigate this had it slapped down by people in the FBI who were covering it up. The people who wanted to charge him, prosecutors who wanted to charge him, were told hands off, he's intelligence, and they gave him a sweetheart deal. Anytime a person of moral character and, frankly, a lack of courage, but enough to actually go after him in the first place, they were shut down from somebody higher up in whatever organization they were in, whether it's the federal government, the local police, or the mainstream media. Somebody at the top of every one of these organizations is in with Epstein and is willing to commit heinous crimes to cover it all up. So just so we're aware, the one person that doesn't apply to, as we've been telling you the entire time, and this is just absolute confirmation of what we've been saying. And what we've been saying has been a combination of both our hunches and our reading of human behavior, but also a plethora of evidence that Donald Trump was not friends with or involved with Jeffrey Epstein and his criminal activity. And now that has been proven out incontrovertibly by the Epstein document releases. Trump reportedly called police about Epstein in 2006. Newly unsealed Epstein-related court documents reviewed by the Miami Herald include details from a 2019 FBI interview, reportedly a former Palm Beach police chief, Michael Ryder, in which he describes a 2006 phone call where President Donald Trump said of Jeffrey Epstein, quote, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this," even though the president has repeatedly said he doesn't know about Epstein's alleged crimes at the time they were happening. But of course he did. And we've been saying, I mean, the whole time, the evidence of Trump not being involved or actually being actively opposed to what Jeffrey Epstein was doing, I can think of no less than like half a dozen examples. There was the first time it was brought up in 2015 when he was still a candidate, hadn't even gotten the Republican nomination. He's asked about Epstein. His first response, there was creepy stuff that went on that island, and you should go ask Prince Andrew. But of course, even before that, you've got him kicking Jeffrey Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago, and you have him being asked by lawyers of the victims if he would help, and Donald Trump was the only one of Jeffrey Epstein's supposed friends that said, "What can I do for you?" and offered to help in any way that he could. All of the victims themselves, when asked about Trump, all of them said, no, he wasn't involved. So, I mean, the whole time, there's been more than enough reason to believe that Donald Trump was opposed to Jeffrey Epstein and not involved in him. But now this is sort of the final nail in that coffin. More evidence that Trump was the original Jeffrey Epstein whistleblower is coming out from court documents. Trump was responsible for Epstein's first conviction, and Epstein knew it and was livid. And so you actually have the document here. Says that Trump, quote, knew Epstein was disgusting. Trump said Maxwell was Epstein's operative. She is, quote, evil, and to focus on that, on her, right? So Trump said Maxwell is evil. She's his co-conspirator. You should focus on her. Trump told blank that he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present, and Trump, quote, got the hell out of there. Trump was one of the very first people to call when people found out that they were investigating Epstein. No one could explain how Epstein made his money. They knew he worked for Bear Stearns. Blank was told that Epstein was kind of a technical guy that would make it happen, but you didn't want to know how. None of the victims that we spoke with said they had sexual contact with men other than Epstein while in Epstein's orbit. Blank had their one time went out screaming. Okay. Prince Andrew is a fixture in Palm Beach and has no protection while there. Blank has done interviews in the past with blank people. Victims thought that that PEPD was paid off by, so that's, or Palm Springs Police Department, was paid off by Epstein, which is why blank went and did these interviews. He felt he needed to defend the Palm Springs Police Department. So there you go. Trump was one of the first to report Epstein, said Ghislaine Maxwell was evil, and when he was actually in a situation with Epstein and teenage girls, he, quote, got the hell out of there as quickly as possible. Okay, so vindicated. Total vindicate, just absolute vindication for Donald Trump. The Epstein files, where they contain Donald Trump, now completely exculpate him or exonerate him from any participation with Jeffrey Epstein whatsoever. After this, private investigators began harassing and playing games with blank. Epstein had blank go to blank and tell him these girls are just prostitutes. They're just happy innings. These are minor cases. Private investigators began pulling the police officers' trash. After 6 months, somebody retired. So this is about how Jeffrey Epstein was harassing and trying to intimidate the police officers investigating him in Palm Springs. The Palm Springs Police Department referred this case to the FBI and introduced the victims to the FBI. Everyone was very motivated. Eventually, there was a lack of communication. Blank heard there was discussions of a plea deal, of a non-prosecution deal. Blank was asked to speak to the U.S. attorney, Alexander Acosta. Blank asked him if he was going to own up to what he promised when he was sworn in. Acosta said the defense had him very frustrated with the case. There was a lot of interest from higher up. The state did not want to take it back. It took months to convince them to take it back. It was very disappointing that the system convinced them to take it, or it was very disappointing that the system failed in this case. Blank was told that the non-prosecution would include a fund for counseling and medical. There was a hurry to make this case go away. So once again, we're getting sort of the down and dirty inside sausage making details of how this worked. After giving the $90,000 check, Epstein came back to Blank's office. He talked about Harvard donations. Epstein just wanted to know about Blank. It was like he was sizing Blank up. Afterwards, Blank walked with Epstein to the lobby, and Blank and Blank was there. She was like a statue. Palm Beach County Country Club. Oh, Palm Beach. Sorry, not Palm Springs. My bad. Kept saying Palm Springs. Palm Beach Country Club is a Jewish community country club. A lot of wealthy people there, and they flock together. Mar-a-Lago is a mixture of everyone. Donald Trump told Blank that he threw Epstein out of his club. Trump told the Palm Beach Police Department to tell him, thank goodness you're stopping this. Everyone has known he's doing this. Trump told him that people in New York were involved as well. So there you go. Trump is fully and completely exonerated, as far as I'm concerned, from inclusion in the Epstein files. The only conclusion of him to be found is the fact that he kicked Epstein out, like we always said he did, and actually, you know, actively helped the police and encouraged them and informed them that Ghislaine Maxwell was the power behind the throne, as it were. So, again, from ABC News, they're having to admit this. Ex-police chief says Trump told him, thank goodness you're stopping Epstein, in the 2000s. Okay, so that's just like, somebody get this to Trump. Somebody let Trump know, you're exonerated, dude. You're free and clear. You don't have to fear the Epstein files anymore. Okay? However, your second in command and your Secretary of State are, in fact, included in the Epstein files. They lied about their participation with Epstein, and there's plenty of information about how not only were they deeply involved in the Epstein network, but when it comes to Marco Rubio, he's basically an open and acknowledged puppet of theirs. So that's your worm tongue you might want to expel from the castle before you get us all killed. That's just my advice. So that would be one of the most important and bombshell revelations that has yet been found in the Epstein files, completely exonerating Donald Trump and totally humiliating and destroying the Democrats who want to twist this to hurt Donald Trump. I mean, I read it in the article just now where they're like, you know, Trump said he didn't know about the criminal activity, but actually he called the cops on Epstein in the first place. Like, okay, do you think that's a gotcha? You know, oh, he lied about knowing. Well, he called the cops on him. He obviously wasn't participating in it. And the way Trump talks, it's, you know, pretty obvious when he says, I don't know anything about that. What he means is I wasn't there. I wasn't involved in that. I wasn't participating in it. He knew about it because he called the cops on them. So that's very good news, and that's very bombshell information. And once again, it just makes Trump's behavior up till now completely inexplicable and confusing and nonsensical. It's very weird because he's been totally, completely exonerated in all this. And you know what? Before we move on to the next major crazy thing, I meant to play this video in the last segment. Because Howard Lutnick, who's now been forced to admit that he was more involved with Epstein than he said he was, met him and knew him and talked to him years after he said he completely cut off contact because of what a horrible guy that was. And that he, you know, was in the emails investing in the same companies as Epstein and living right next door to him in New York and all this stuff. So he's not exactly, you know, laughing about it now, but that's exactly what he was doing the day before when he was behind Trump and Trump was giving an address about Jeffrey Epstein. We've got a clip number 43. This is Howard Lutnick, who has now been caught being in the Epstein crime ring. This is him laughing at the fact that he thought he was getting away with it at the time. Let's watch clip 43 here.
Respond to the Epstein situation. Is he hosting some kind of gathering of top advisors this evening to talk about how to respond?
There's
to
Epstein,
the Epstein
just
situation?
I don't know. I could ask you that question. I don't know of it, but
enjoy.
I
how to respond to the Epstein. Just like,
I don't
laughing
know.
Laughing his ass
I
off.
I could ask you that question.
When asked about Jeffrey Epstein raping kids. It's like a fake laugh, too. It's almost like not even a real laugh. He's doing like a Santa Claus or like your whole belly goes up and down. It was a belly laugh. It was a real, you know, hardcore, I am getting away with this kind of laugh. It's called Duper's Delight. It's a well-known psychological phenomenon. People think they're getting away with something. They tend to laugh and smile. He's not laughing and smiling anymore as he's being questioned about it. But that's the mindset of the people we're dealing with. That's the mindset of the Howard Lutnick. He genuinely thinks it is hilarious that they're asking about his participation with a group of criminals that systematically trafficked and raped little girls. It's very funny to him. So he's a demon. I think what I'm saying here is that he is a demon. He's possessed by demons. Now we're going to get to the craziest thing, all right? We're going to get to the craziest revelation of all from the Epstein files that I have not heard anybody report on to a degree that it demands. And before we do that, let me tell you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. You're going to need to, folks, you're going to need the ultimate gut and brain bundle to handle what I'm about to expose to you. It's a 50% off discount when you bundle together some of our best-selling products, Bovine Colostrum Plus, Methylene Blue Tincture, and the Methylene Red Tincture. All three together can be bought at 50% off their normal price. Bovine Colostrum Plus supports your gut lining integrity, digestion, and immune health. A strong gut improves nutrient absorption and whole body resilience. The Methylene Blue Tincture, of course, supports mitochondrial function, mental clarity, and cellular energy. It helps the brain and body perform at higher levels under stress. And then Methylene Red Tincture, of course, superpowers Methylene Blue by supporting circulation, oxygen utilization, and metabolic performance. Better oxygen delivery supports energy, endurance, and recovery. And of course, everybody knows that you're supposed to trust your gut most of the time, and that your gut is almost a second brain in your body. Like, it literally is a second brain in your body, and dictates so much about how you perceive the world comes from your gut telling you things that never rise to the level of consciousness, but are even more accurate than your conscious observations. So this package, these three products together, it's the brain and gut combo, because they work in tandem and they work as like partners to one another. And if your gut flora, gut fauna, if your gut is all messed up, it's going to make you mentally unwell. It's going to make you, sluggish and stupid, basically. So you can't ignore your gut and only treat your brain. You can't treat your brain, or you can't ignore your brain and only treat your gut. You got to treat them both together. And so that's what we do with the brain and gut combo at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate gut and brain bundle on sale now. 50% off some of our top selling products when you bundle them together. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Okay. This is the craziest thing I've seen from the Epstein files so far. And we're going to go to a video here that we went to the same guy yesterday, Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know. We showed the video yesterday where, it's the fake Illuminati setup and they're talking about, all right, you're going to have to give us your firstborn kid or whatever. Very funny. People are posting that going, oh, see, they tell us what they're doing. This is revelation of the method. It's like, no, Trevor Moore was an info warrior. Trevor Moore knew what was up and was using his position in Hollywood to subtly red pill his audience. They killed him for it, by the way. Before they killed him, he fell off a balcony and died at a very young age. I think he was under 40, if I'm not mistaken. And it happened shortly after the video I'm about to show you. The video I'm about to show you is probably the reason he was killed. And it exposes something completely insane about Jeffrey Epstein, his network, and the coronavirus. We've already seen through Epstein's emails that he was in contact with Bill Gates. He was in contact with other people involved in the COVID conspiracy. There were, communications about mRNA and all this sort of stuff. He was somehow involved in the creation of COVID. And it's always been a little bit obscure what his role is. Well, here's a video from, I believe, 2021 or 2022. I think this is from 2021. It's Trevor Moore of The Whitest Kids You Know talking about something he discovered during COVID just before he was killed by being thrown off a balcony. Let's go to clip 10.
Bioengineering. So he had all of these scientists on that he would donate money to their charities, and he would have them work on things and stuff. But what I heard, and this is completely unsubstantiated, but I heard it and I thought it was fascinating, was that he also had these same guys, because they were disease specialists and everything like that, he had them design a novel coronavirus that was his kill switch. Basically, like, that was his trump card. Which, it's like one of these things where if I don't keep entering in a thing every 30 days, I die. In like October, November, his kill switch went off, and that's when the disease got introduced into the world until it became what we knew today. I don't believe it.
I'm with you. Conspiracy theory.
I love it, and I'm going to spread it as much as I can.
I think he may have been onto something. I think he just may have been onto something. So the crew just told me he died in 2021 at 41 years old, falling off of a balcony shortly after that video was made, where he claimed that COVID-19 was a kill switch for Jeffrey Epstein, and said Jeffrey Epstein paid people to create a novel coronavirus and then wielded it as blackmail, saying, if anything ever happens to me, this stuff gets released. It was a dead man switch. The way dead man switch works, you have it automatically set to disperse information, or in this case, a disease. And unless you put in a code every 24 hours, every 48 hours, then it automatically releases. You have to actually actively stop it from being released. So if you die and no one stops it, then it automatically gets released within 28, 24, 48 hours, whatever it is. So that was Trevor Moore from Wise Kid You Know, who was killed by being thrown off a balcony shortly after that in 2021, saying Jeffrey Epstein was tied in with the creation of COVID and the fact that he, quote unquote, died. And then COVID immediately hit the ground running. Remember, COVID, you know, came about in probably September, October, maybe November of 2019. That's why it's called COVID-19. Even though 2020 was the year of the lockdowns and everything, it was COVID-19 because that's when it first started spreading shortly after Jeffrey Epstein died. So that, you know, as he puts it, is a kind of crazy conspiracy theory from the outset. And he's like, but I think it's great, so I'm going to keep spreading it. Now we have evidence. Now there's evidence in the Epstein files that that was probably true. From Invasion, Invisidon at Quantum Altered X on X, the idea for the pandemic was born in these emails. While it was, quote, wild polio here, the rest describes exactly how they portrayed COVID. Not getting three vaxes is the problem. People who aren't sick and have no symptoms are the problem, quote, the invisible enemy. And so you have this email to Jeffrey Epstein from this scientist with the headline, with the title, Invisible Enemy, saying most of the 22 cases of polio-like paralysis in Syria, 10 of which have been confirmed by polio virus tainting, are among the children below the age of 2 that were unimmunized and had not received 3 doses of the vaccine. The WHO warned last month that there was a high risk of polio spreading internationally because of the movements of refugees across the region and low immunization rates in Syria. The WHO wants to get rid of polio completely and got pretty close until recent outbreaks. The fact that most of those infected do not display symptoms but can still spread the disease makes it very hard, makes a very hard virus to get rid of, as it is like fighting an invisible enemy. And this was in 2013 that these emails were first exchanged. Then you have this. Epstein files reveal yet another critical COVID-19 figure with close relation to the late pedophile, none other than the Proximal Origins author, Ian Lipkin. In this 2012 email from Lipkin to Epstein, we can see them scheduling a meeting with Lipkin bragging about how he, quote, directs the largest and most productive center for pathogen surveillance and discovery. The Proximal Origin paper and the subsequent firestorm it created are well documented. This is yet again another tie between prolific pedophile Jeffrey Epstein and the COVID-19 pandemic. It was COVID-19 a dead man switch from Jeffrey Epstein? He was certainly involved with all the people.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor did.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Tamers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited pilot power.
Volunteer power.
Woo!
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.